Welcome to the Activation Podcast, brought to you by the Conscious Resistance Network. I'm your host, Derek Brose. With every episode of the Activation, we will explore solutions in the areas of health, permaculture, decentralized technology, spirituality, and hidden truths. The Activation Podcast is focused on providing cutting-edge solutions to empower humanity. Hey everyone, this is Derek Brose with the Conscious Resistance Network, and welcome to another episode of the Activation Podcast. For those of you who know, I started this podcast back in 2021 because I got sick of talking about the news all the time. I got sick of talking about all the bad things in the world, and I wanted to interview friends and colleagues and inspirations around the world who are focused on how to help ourselves, whether that's mental health, physical health, spiritual health, financial, emotional, etc. I want to highlight the people who are actually doing the good work and bringing us the much needed solutions that we really do need right now in our life. And my guest today is one of those people. He's also a new contributor to the Conscious Resistance Network, and he will be a speaker at the upcoming Greater Reset in Morelia, Mexico, January 17th to the 21st of next year. So please welcome Anthony Samaroff, joining me today for the first time on the Activation Podcast. How you doing, brother?
Yeah, I'm doing really good. Good to be here. Although I actually thought this was the show where we talk about all of the problems in the world. Just kidding. Yeah, man, it was always a concern of mine in our movement and the wider movement that people really like to talk shop about problems. But when you started talking about solutions, some people were really enthusiastic about it. But some people would like look at you like you're a bit weird and like what's the time that we ever became associates. I felt much a kindred spirit with you because we both seem to share this understanding. And while we've met in person less than half a dozen times, it felt like a good kinship. We did share some accommodation at a festival earlier on this year. Near Tulum, but so we got to know each other a little bit better. But from the beginning, I was like, oh, this is cool, because we both always shared this view of, right, let's zoom out, right, the problems of the world are a consequence of psychology to some degree, and since we don't have the keys to everyone's mass psychology, this idea of like starting with yourself, focus on your locus of control, improve yourself. By improving yourself, you gain the capacity to help the people around you. And by helping the people around you, you gain the capacity to form organizations and networks of organizations that change the world. And we seem to share this understanding. So I'm really, really pleased to now be part of the Conscious Resistance and a content creator for your site and to collaborate on projects with you. That's my lengthy preamble.
I appreciate that, brother. And I think that you are 100% correct that the time that we have spent together, it seems like we are very aligned in a lot of areas. And even in the areas where maybe we don't see always eye to eye, that we have a similar, I guess, approach to problems. I want to, before we do get deeper into some of the content that you're doing and show everybody what you've already done for the Conscious Resistance Network, as well as your past work, maybe you could just get a little more into some of your background, where you're from, and how you started pursuing your journey towards freedom and you know, freedom in all the different realms.
Cool, thank you so much. Well, as you may be able to tell from my accent, I'm not from the States, I'm from Scotland. And I guess I'm known as a libertarian, Scottish libertarian podcaster, although I don't like to limit myself to that kind of sphere. Also, if very into self-help and stuff. I think when I was growing up, I had a sense that there was something weird going on in the world, because like, why can't people just like be nice to each other? And I felt very alienated at school. And this created a sort of curiosity in me where I was like compulsively trying to figure out what went wrong. And I went down the politics route for a while. And I was just learning, like by instinct, you kind of become a leftist because all the people who seemed to be talking about the problems in the world were leftists. And then around maybe 2007, I kind of discovered libertarianism, and I upgraded my knowledge of economics. But and by that, even though I don't think my values changed much from when I went from being a leftist to being a libertarian, because I understood problems better, like social problems better, and how you do need the trial and error of lots of people trying different things, and you need to kind of bounce it against the market to find out what solutions work and what don't, rather than a top-down control format where we figure out the best solutions and then we make sure everyone follows them. My politics changed, even though my values stayed the same. And in my libertarian advocacy, I was always kind of trying to focus on like how the state makes people poor and how we could abolish poverty by reducing the role of the state in society. Because leftists were always like the poor, the, you know, poverty, 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 inequality. And I thought, we're not doing a good job of representing this. So I wrote the book Universal Basic Income For and Against, which was kind of a Trojan horse because people were talking about UBI. But, and I do talk about that a lot, obviously, it's in the title of the book. But the main thing was to educate people on libertarian policies for increasing living standards, making everyone abundant. Because, as I said, the left claimed to have monopolized that and took the moral high ground because they were always talking about the disadvantaged. I was surprised to find when I went into libertarianism that it did not always come with this kind of self-help element to it that you and I agree with. Like like if anything, I'm broadly speaking here, there's enclaves such as yours and other things that are very much about community building. But in general, the kind of left, the banana, there's the banana bread making brand of libertarianism with the dreadlocks and stuff like that, which I've got great love and appreciation for. And then there's the kind of more business suit buttoned up, and then there's like the gun rights ones, and so there are different stripes. But for me, kind of like individualism seemed to imply some form of like personal empowerment or self-help, because there is no libertarian movement without individual empowerment, because empowered individuals who are not empowered are not fit to enter a market economy. They're going to be hostile to freedom, because if you don't believe that you can go out and use your skills to help others and gain an income, you're going to want someone else to come and control people to ensure that you have a living. So it seemed to me this idea of one, like self-help and personal empowerment on the individual level, starting with ourselves and the kind of community organizing, bottom-up, like community center, like getting people involved, making people feel that they're important and significant and make a difference, goes along well with individualism or libertarianism. And yet I noticed that not everyone in the movement saw it that way, and many were very like atomistic and I don't know, quite mainstream in many ways, which is, you know, which they have the right to make that choice, of course. But that's why I feel like more aligned with a group like the Conscious Resistance, for example, because yeah, I got disillusioned of politics because I didn't see that I was making a difference right in front of my face when I engaged in purely political discourse. So I really feel like if you talk about the news cycle, that should just be some bait on the hook to get people interested so that you can move on to solutions at the policy level, at the social level, and at the community level, and at the individual level.
Yeah, what you just said there is really kind of what I try to do. I mean, I do care about what's going on in the world in terms of, you know, my day job that pays my bills as being a journalist. But many times I write the articles about the crazy things or the bad bills they're trying to pass, as you said, as a hook to hopefully bring them in. And then check out my other work where we explore solutions and we talk about, hey, this is the answer for those problems. So, you know, it's definitely a very intentional thing. And also, you know, as you were sharing your story, Another aspect that we have in common is kind of growing up around more of a left-leaning crowd politically, and sort of going that path first, and then later discovered libertarianism, and then also at the same time kind of discovering even the limitations of the libertarian movement. That, as you said, it's very kind of factional in some ways, and then it really does astound me too, the way that you, like the way you were saying. It astounded me when I started getting involved in the movement in 2011, really 2012. I gave my first public speech at a libertarian event in New York City, and I was talking about the intersection of Buddhism and shamanism and libertarianism. And I think five people there got it. Like, you know, the rest of them were all like strong atheists and really probably didn't have much of an interest in what I was saying. But the five people that came up and were like, that was cool, man, I meditate too, or whatever, it encouraged me to like, okay, I'm gonna keep going. There's other people who are spiritual anarchists or spiritual libertarians or just interested in personal development and personal growth. Right. And I do think that if more libertarians recognize that, that the message might be more palatable to a lot of people. But you know, obviously the economics is important, as you touched on earlier, but some libertarians come at it from such a right brain economic kind of lens, and that's the only lens that they have to explain the message. Where I feel like, you know, as one example, with the Greater Reset, we've built a big movement of people who might not even fully understand that the movement we're building is libertarian, because we don't ever mention the word libertarian. But we talk about the values and the principles of it, you know, and they get it on that. But we're not like beating them over the head, Rothbard this and Rothbard that or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. And that economic theory is really illuminating as a lens to see the world by, but it's still only a lens. There's more than one camera on the set. And it's good that there's more than one camera on the set, because that makes for a rich movie where you can see the scene from different angles. And one thing I really love about your festival is the fact that it can bring people in regardless of their political persuasion, because it's the Conscious Resistance Network, man. It's like they want more consciousness, they want to bring more consciousness to their own life, and they want to bring more consciousness to the planet. So it's a broad tent and it's a buffet, and you can take the dishes that you like and that appeal to you, and you can leave those that don't. And to be honest, man, if you get five people who really get it, that's like gold. You know, do that 100 times, that's 500 people. You know, that's 500 solid contacts that you really align with, and with each of them their conscious network.
Exactly. Well, let's go ahead and jump into, I want to pull up right now, of course the website is theconsciousresistance.com. if anybody's hearing this and hasn't bookmarked it, please do so. And you might notice, as you peruse through our recently posted content, some articles, and these articles are being posted by Anthony. I typically contribute video content for the Conscious Resistance, as you guys can see here. Occasionally, I will write an article, but Anthony right now is stepping into that role. You can see his author page. I will include this in the show notes, of course, where you can catch up here with all the articles he's written so far. We've got four of them in here so far, and I know he's got a lot more to come. And I just want to remind anybody else who's hearing this, we are always looking for contributors. Yeah, you know. We want more people to come join Anthony and I and what we're doing here. And you know, over the years, I've had, at one point we had six different contributors, people contributing video interviews, people contributing articles, and it ebbs and flows over time. But if you're ever interested, anybody else out there, you want to join what we're doing, please do reach out. But let's go ahead, Anthony, and talk a little bit about some of the content that you have done, and if there's any articles you want to go ahead.
Mention that, like, because people. Yeah, and I just want to say something about that. If you're at home there and you're thinking of writing, it's so much more advantageous to come on a site like the Conscious Resistance Network than write your own blog, because no one knows you if you're starting out. Together we're better. You'd rather contribute to a site that's already got an established readership and continue to help them if you're aligned and grow together. It's really one of the ways that we're hampered in our impact is when everyone's in their own silo trying to do their own thing. So if you're a writer, it's a good thing. If you want to have a blog and you blog on more topics that are relevant, that are not relevant to the Conscious Resistance, what you can do is you can still get your Substack, but you post a couple of paragraphs of the article and then link to the relevant publication so people can find all of your stuff in one place, but you're also both benefiting from the audience that Derek's created and also hopefully help the Conscious Resistance grow their project too. Because lone wolves always get so far. So I always encourage people, find organizations that you're aligned with and cooperate. Don't always feel like you have the need to like start your own thing.
Yeah, that's a great point. I definitely am somebody who likes to start new things, but I definitely understand that. And there have been times where when I was going to create my own new project, I realized, you know what, somebody else is already doing this and I can probably better benefit as well as help them by joining and collaborating in an effort. So definitely we welcome any more contributors. Anthony, is there any specific article? I know you've only got four so far on our site and we're going to get some more from you, but is there any four out of these four that you would like to highlight or focus on for a moment?
We can like hit a couple of these ones. And I should just tell people, if you go to 7pharmamyths.com, the number 7, and then pharma, and then myths, like Roman mythology, you can get a free ebook, which has collected quite a lot of really good information. I should just tell you a little bit about what I'm trying to do with these articles. What I'm showing you is, you don't need to go to conspiracy theory websites to find out how bad the science in pharmaceutical medicine is. In my ebook and in my article, I'm citing all mainstream sources, AMA, FDA, CDC, NIH, The Lancet, the British Medical Journal, the New England Journal of Medicine. These organizations freely admit how bad the science in medicine is, how many medications do more harm than good. I'm going to examples where companies were taken to court for harming people with drugs and sued less than they made a profit from that drug that harmed people. I'm talking about how the American Journal of Pediatrics and the CDC admit that most of the decline in diseases in the 20th century happened before 1950, before they introduced all these vaccines and antibiotics and other drugs. But most people think the reason why we're living longer is because of drugs, right? The doctors would like to take credit for the massive decline in mortality, but you just go to the mainstream sources, if you look in the right places, and they admit that it was all cleaner water, better sanitary conditions, the decline in poverty, access to better nutrition, even the automobile. You know, before we had that, everyone was going on horse and cart, so there was horse crap all over the streets and that made people ill. So that's why one of the articles I've got on your website is called More Care Is Not Caring More, Public Health versus Medication. So my job is just to popularize what the mainstream sources say. What I say is, if you go to conspiracies, they might well be true. It might be even worse than what the mainstream sources have, but you don't need to go that far just to find the relevant information. And something about writing. I always try and start an article with like some kind of punchy story or a vignette. And this is an example of one of them. Maybe you'd like to read the first paragraph. First two paragraphs, whet people's appetite.
Hold that thought. Hey everyone, I want to tell you about something new that I've launched this year and that's going to continue to grow in 2023. On theconsciousresistance.com, we recently launched TCRU, the Conscious Resistance University, and the first course we're hosting is my investigative journalism course, How to Become an Independent Investigative Journalist, which is now available to anyone to access. I previously did this class live. I had 14 students, and it's a 6-week course where I give you all of the skills that I have, all the skills that I've learned over the last 13 years as an independent investigative journalist. We talk about how to conduct interviews. We talk about the history of journalism, key terms you should know, investigative tools, research tools. We talk about how to use social media, how to start your own website. And also, I give you a chance to complete a project and send it to me, which I will publish on theconsciousresistance.com, as well as through my independent media partners. Now, I really encourage you to check it out. You can go to theconsciousresistance.com/TCRU. And this is the first course we're offering. Right now, there are plans to bring in several new courses in the coming months. These are going to include privacy courses on blockchain, and cryptocurrency, and using the internet just in a safe way. We're also going to hear some meditation courses from my partner, Miriam. There's plans for potential courses about Spanish speaking and so much more. So I encourage you guys to sign up right now and to stay tuned for the courses that are coming. Again, the website is theconsciousresistance.com/TCRU. Now let's get back to the conversation.
Here, I'll read it for you then, if you like. In the 1900s, infectious disease were rampant in New York City because New Jersey, just across the Hudson River, was basically a swamp that bred mosquitoes. Every summer, the mosquitoes would just fly across the river and start infecting people with malaria and yellow fever. Everyone but the rich people, of course. They would just pack up their stuff and move somewhere colder. Now it's 2023, and being poor is still hazardous to your health. People in poverty have poorer health outcomes and more unhealthy habits than more affluent people. They are twice as likely to develop type 2 diabetes, for example, and with it, everything from heart attacks and strokes to kidney failure, adult blindness, and limb amputations. Prevent diabetes, and you prevent just about everything.
So, just as New York didn't solve its infectious disease problem by giving people tons of pharmaceutical drugs, it drained the swamp, so to speak. Literally, it drained the swamp. They went to New Jersey and drained the swamp. And then people stopped getting malaria and yellow fever. So we're looking at healthcare the wrong way. Like everything the state does, they react to the problem after the fact. Once people have been sick, it's too late in a sense. Healthy people don't get sick. When you get sick, that's because you've got sick tissues. That's just the most conspicuous symptom of the fact that your body's not running at optimal capacity. So in other words, you're sick before you get sick. So even the mainstream sources admit that 70% of disease is lifestyle related. It's probably more like 98 or 99% of disease is lifestyle related. So, but tons of people are making money from people being sick. They're not making that much money from people being well. So what I like to say is, Derek, imagine I was your financial advisor and I said, you know what, buddy, here's how it's going to go. You lodge your account with me, and when it goes up, I will make money. But if it goes down, I'll make even more money. But don't worry, if I bankrupt you, I'll lose it all. Would you like to sign here? You'd probably tell me to get to hell. But that's how we've designed our healthcare system. They make money when you're well, they make more money the sicker you get. And if you get really sick, they make tons of money just so long as they don't kill you. So the incentive they have is to keep people as sick as possible for as long as possible. And if we look at what's happening in the world, well, the rise in chronic diseases over the last 60 years has been absolutely incredible. Economics taught us that systems tend to produce the results that they're incentivized to produce. And I think that you could probably put down the massive rise in chronic disease to our healthcare system. That's what they've got. That's what they're spending money on. That's what they're making money on. And you're likely to get more and more on. You're likely to get more and more of it so long as that's how everyone's drawing a buck. Where, yes, and on that topic, there's another one of our articles, which is called, what is it? It's you don't get what you pay for when it comes to medicine. That talks a little bit about those financial incentives.
Yeah, we have that one right here. Again, I'm going to put in the show notes all of the articles that Anthony has posted so far. This one he referenced there is you definitely don't get what you pay for when it comes to healthcare. So check out that one. Just by the short conversation we're having here today, and of course, if you guys are enjoying this, stay tuned because there will be more conversations coming with Anthony now that he's part of the network. But it's clear that you have spent quite a bit of time delving into this, and we also you mentioned your ebook, which I'll link as well, 7 Big Pharma Myths Debunked. That's another big part of your work, obviously. And you have another website I wanted to reference for everybody, Be Yourself and Love It. Is this just kind of like your home for your home base for your work, or could you tell us more about this specific site?
Yeah, I didn't mention that I'm actually a therapist, a counselor. So when I got disillusioned of politics, and I was working a lot on my own stuff when I was studying my undergrad, because I suffered from depression and anxiety. It was kind of like a self-help junkie. I worked on myself really hard. And by the time I finished my degree, I was already running some personal development workshops and things like that. So I went and did my postgrad in counseling studies, and I became a counselor. So it seemed to me like I was kind of perfectly fixed to become the counselor for people who were sane in an insane world. And that's hence professional, personal and professional development for freedom lovers. So I've got BeYourselfAndLoveIt.com, and most of the people I've worked with, although not exclusively, have sort of been liberty-minded or in the liberty movement. And it can be hard to have that point. It can be sometimes isolating for people. But the problems that I help people deal with are pretty broad. So I guess if that's something you're interested in, you'd know where to find me. BeYourselfAndLoveIt.com.
Absolutely. Well, I want to talk about your appearance at the Greater Reset in just a moment, but let's go ahead and before we get into that, there was another area of your research that we were discussing. It relates to procrastination. And despite my prolific nature, I constantly get a compliment from people of how do you produce so much content? I am actually a huge procrastinator. I am very good at procrastinating despite accomplishing things. I've just kind of learned to work within my own rhythm, I guess, and know when I can get things done and when I need to, you know, do other things. But let's talk about, I think you've done an ebook, right, on procrastination, and then we have an idea that might help some of the potential listeners. So why don't you share about that?
This is something like I'm super excited about. So maybe about 4 or 5 years ago, I put out this short ebook, about 25,000 words long, called Procrastination Annihilation. And I did the Libertarian podcast tour promoting it. And people really liked it. I got a few thousand downloads, and some people credited it with really helping them change their habits. Now, me personally, I like to say I'm a recovering procrastinator. It used to be I procrastinated so much about writing that I could have an article, I could start an article, and it could take me days, weeks, months, or even years to come back to it, or maybe I'd never come back to it. Now, I often write several hours a day, most days of the week. So whereas I used to procrastinate over writing, now writing is my means of procrastinating over the other things that I still procrastinate over. Like, I will write to procrastinate. While that's not ideal, what I would say is it proves that progress can be made. And what I found was everyone I knew who was really productive had always been like that. And everyone I knew who was a procrastinator had always been like that. So people who were really productive weren't usually that good at giving advice on overcoming procrastination. They'd say something like, well, why don't you just do it? Well, what I tried to do was collect in procrastination annihilation the main techniques that I actually employed to overcome procrastination in my own life and become more productive, as I have been doing for the 5 years since I wrote that, as evidenced by all the content I've put out since then. So I guess what I would really like to do with you is, what we're going to do is we're going to put this ebook up for download again for free from your website, and people can put their email address in. And what we'd like to do is create a Conscious Resistance Network Procrastination Annihilation Accountability Group, where we meet once a week. We have a little seminar. I'll do a little talk on maybe 20 minutes on the psychology of procrastination. Every week it'll be a slightly different angle on it, a different element of it. Everyone will talk about their own experiences of the previous week and how they're going and how the lecture applies to them personally. And we can talk through our issues. Did you come up against any stopping points on your determinations? How are you going to retool and handle that next week? And you'll be able to come every week, and that will, if you, and that will hold you accountable to the commitments that we make together as a group. And we will help each other become gradually less procrastinatory and gradually more productive. So that's something that I'd like to be doing through the Conscious Resistance Network. And by downloading the free ebook and registering your interest with us, we'll know who's up for this and who wants to be a part of it. It's a service that the Conscious Resistance Network can start to provide, because we want to empower our own community to make the best of themselves.
Absolutely. And I definitely plan to be a part of that. So as Anthony said, when you visit the Conscious Resistance, where you'll be seeing this interview, we're going to embed an email sign up as well as that ebook download. And everybody who has an interest, even if you're not sure, you know, if you would join, but you're just curious about it, I encourage you to sign up. And if we do get a reasonable amount of signups there, we will pursue this and we'll set a date to have that first event, as Anthony said, and he'll do a discussion and we'll go from there and see how it goes. I'm excited because, as I mentioned, procrastination is something that I've learned to navigate in my own ways. And so it's always interesting to hear from other people like you, Anthony, of how you've, rose up to those challenges, and see if we can help some other people in their journeys. And as I mentioned, I'm excited because you're also going to be joining us for the Greater Reset. You've attended before, and we're happy to have you, you know, attend before, but now you're actually going to be joining us on stage as a speaker. And I plan to have you on the very first day, which is January 17th. Our first day is dedicated to liberating our mind, body, and soul. So it's everything health, mental, physical, spiritual, and all sorts of great speakers will be there. Anthony is going to be there sharing some of the things that you just heard, and I'm sure much more. Have you given any thought to what you would specifically like to talk about, or anything you want to, you know, tease?
Well, I know it's going to be something to do with health and kind of like the problems with Big Pharma leading into how we take our health into our own hands, like physical, mental, spiritual, all the bells and whistles apply. Usually what I like to do is prepare my talk pretty close to an event, because I like to talk about whatever I'm most passionate about during that period in my life. So there will be an element of leaving it to the last minute, not because I'm procrastinating, but because I want my delivery to be very congruent, authentic, and in the present moment, rather than a pre-prepared speech that has since gone dry. But I'm going to talk about meeting our physical, emotional, and spiritual needs in that talk, and how we can attain greater levels of health and happiness. Ultimately, the talk's going to culminate in that. And I'm going to talk about, because I see, as a psychotherapist, as well as, biologically, we know that the human system is an organism that has needs. For some reason, the doctors don't seem to know that if you're nutritionally deficient or if there's toxins in your body, it doesn't matter how many drugs you take, you're not going to cure your disease if it's a nutritional deficiency or toxicity in the body that's causing your disease. However, we're smart enough to see that. So biologists are smart enough to see that the human organism is a biological mechanism that has needs. And as a psychotherapist, I kind of try and see human beings as having emotional, spiritual, and social needs. And if those needs are not met, you're not going to have good mental health. If your physiological needs are not met, you won't have good physical health. So part of the talk is going to culminate in a discussion of that. What the lead up is still a little bit blurry, because it just depends what I'm excited about at the time.
Great. Well, I am very excited to have you there and to hear it in person. Again, everybody, thegreaterreset.org is the website. If you're not familiar with the Greater Reset yet, it's happening in Morelia, Mexico, January 7th to the 21st, 2024. Actually, as we're recording this, we're preparing to launch early bird tickets. So you're hearing about it at the perfect time. Go visit thegreaterreset.org. Get yourself some tickets, come down to meet Anthony in person. And I wanna just add to that as well, we just recently released a 7-minute kind of recap, a highlight video of this year's Greater Reset number 4 in January 2023. And you've been there, Anthony. I mean, you know that it's I it's hard to explain to some people, because whenever I tell them, like, yes, there's presenters and it's speakers, it's kind of like a conference, but then it's also music and it's workshops and it's community. There's so much to it that...
It's a festival as well.
Yeah.
It's a festival and a conference.
Exactly. It's got conference, it's got festival. It's really something that you have to either experience in person, or I do encourage you to watch the highlight reel. That'll be the next best thing to attending in person. And maybe that'll be enough to encourage you to... Go ahead and come join us. We're expecting 500 plus people, because typically in years past, we've had two events, one in Mexico, one in Texas, but we're only doing one event this year in Mexico. Right. So we're expecting a bigger turnout. So I encourage everybody to come out.
I think I'm not just saying this because I'm there. I'm saying this as someone who's been there, but someone who's attended a lot of events. If you can make it, you should make it, because it's not just about the presentations. If you don't want to come and see my presentation because you're like, yeah, I can watch presentations on YouTube anytime, that's totally fine. It's about being there around people who get it and feeling your own power as a community. You will make friends for life at the Greater Reset. You will make contacts that can further you in your social, professional, or personal goals. Nothing compares to people who've got alignment and values coming together and feeling their power multiplied together. Even if you don't watch a single presentation, you should come down to the Greater Reset just to hang out, just to meet people, just to meet Derek and I, his lovely partner, Miriam. You know, come down and feel the good vibes. It will enrich your spirits, and it will empower you to feel good for, you know, weeks to come afterwards. And it is, and the price is so reasonable. Like, what are you charging for this? An early bird ticket, $150.
Yeah, $150 US.
Yeah, if you get, I mean, $150 for like for several days at a festival.
Five days.
Okay, you cannot get you can barely get a hotel room in a major city in the US for $150 these days, okay? So if you're a povertarian, save your pennies for this event. If you go to one event this year, you got to come down, hang out with us at the Greater Reset.
I appreciate that. Thank you, brother, for joining us today. And as I mentioned, there will be more conversations with Anthony now that he is joining us here on the Conscious Resistance Network. All the links we covered will be listed. I'll put his Greater Reset speaker page there. You can see his personal website, Be Yourself and Love It, if you want to book a session with Anthony. And of course, be sure to download the ebook, 7 Big Pharma Myths Debunked. We'll also include the procrastination ebook that we discussed. And finally, I'll include a link to Anthony's author page if you want to get caught up with his articles he's posted so far. I really do appreciate you making time to communicate with us, brother. And is there any kind of parting message or final message you'd like to share with everybody before we say goodbye today?
Open up the page, click the links, download the ebooks. Peace.
All right, everyone, thank you for joining us. As always, until next time, remember, you are powerful, you are beautiful, and you are free.
Peace. You have been listening to the Activation Podcast, brought to you by the Conscious Resistance Network. You can find the archives of our show at Pinecast, Spotify, and theconsciousresistance.com. Thank you for listening.